It's definitely program music, you know, and in the grand scheme of things, that's what these two concert overtures of Mendelssohn, this one and the Calm Sea and Prosperous Voyage, are really kind of significant in the development of program music, because they were one of the first works, kind of on the heels of the Beethoven Pastoral Symphony, first kind of standalone works that had a programmatic idea to them. Before that, we have to go all the way back to the Vivaldi Four Seasons to find
something. Right, the barking dog.
And this is a much more kind of an there's less concrete musical imitation and more of just of an atmospheric thing. I've always found this Fingal Cave Overture to be just a gem of a piece of music, that it's one of those works where everything is right where it needs to be, and it's a remarkable. You know, when Mendelssohn was inspired, he was incredible. When he was on, when the muse was with him, he wrote some really, really extraordinary music, and I think this is one of them.
Then we have a bassoon concerto by Mozart, and the bassoon, one of those instruments that at its darkest can sound a little funereal, and at its lightest can sound almost chuckling. How do those figure into the Mozart concerto? What mood is he in for this?
Sure. Well, Mozart clearly recognized the remarkable range of expressive capabilities of the bassoon. And, you know, a lot of the associations that we have now with the bassoon, as often the jester, came about thanks to the Sorcerer's Apprentice. But I think in Mozart's day, it was just a lovely tenor woodwind instrument that was capable of great facility and really elegance and a little bit of joviality, but also could sing a beautiful aria, as is the second movement. The second movement is lifted from one of his opera arias, and the instrument just sings beautifully in that.
So then we have an intermission, and then it's the Shostakovich 10th. And in talking to various musical folks about Shostakovich over the last few years, when I try to do research for it, the one thing I keep finding is everybody wants to say that it was that Shostakovich's music was political one way or the other, and there are about 20 different versions of, for instance, is the second movement supposed to be about Stalin or not about Stalin, right, or did he write it before Stalin or after Stalin? There seems to be, and I don't know that you can dismiss that. He's a very political composer, but I don't know that that's the entirety of understanding his music either. When you're approaching anything by Shostakovich, but especially the 10th, where do you go with that?
Right. That's a great question. There have been enormous barrels of the proverbial ink spilt on the meaning of Shostakovich's music. And the other thing that complicates it, too, is that he would often contradict himself.
Right. As he got older, there were different versions of...
Right. Of a work means this or it doesn't mean anything. And the great thing is that Shostakovich's music is remarkably clear in its intent. And that, so even the great enigma, the Fifth Symphony is the greatest enigma, because here's a piece given the subtitle of a Soviet artist's response to just criticism. Now, come on.
Yeah, so that's a little loaded.
there's already with that, there's this obvious sarcastic tone to it. Yet it is one of his most, you know, triumphant outpourings. And so as the performer, we have to say, well, is he saying, okay, you want joyous music, here you go, and here it is, or is it a sincere statement? So, but the one thing, what I started with was that to the performer, there's something crystal clear about how to play Shostakovich. And aside from nuances, the intent of the music is very clear, as pure, absolute music. And then I think it's up to the listener.